Wow, thank you, worship team. Powerful, powerful, powerful. You know what we've noticed as a team? As we have been preaching on faith for 2 months, since the very first Sunday in 2013. And we've heard report after report after report of people speaking, He is able. God is able. Going through a storm, God is able. Going through circumstance, God is able. The winds have kicked up, God is able. This has taken place, God is able. Sickness has come, God is able. Family is lost, God is able. We've heard it over and over. And gang, we are seeing faith begin to rise up. And we're seeing faith of individuals and as a church, as a body, as a congregation begin to rise up, believing that God has called us to win this region, that God has called us for a specific purpose in this region, to win the lost, to go after those who are filled with unbelief, to go after marriages and husbands and wives and teenagers to change their generation, young people who are in college to change their generation. Gang, we're called to this. It is our passion. It is what God has called Believers Chapel to. And we are seeing this. Saturday night was ridiculous last night. It was like half full. It was, amazing. People are just coming on Saturdays. It was ridiculous. We're just seeing God do some just amazing things because your faith is showing up and you're actually believing that God's called this place to do a significant, incredible work to win so many people to Christ. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And that this morning I'm asking you, clear everything out, please. We're going to preach this morning. Man, I know that you were here. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to be here. This is not a check-the-box church. This isn't one to say, well, you can come in and do your duty, and God bless you. And you're here because you want to be here. You're here because you're hungry for truth. So let's ask God to speak to us this morning, because we're going to kill doubt today, folks. This is a serious, serious message that God has just been preparing me to preach. I'm asking that you be ready to hear it. Father, we thank you for your... just an amazing presence. We thank you, Father, that there is great peace and rest and joy and excitement to honor you and to glorify you and to lift your name. God, that we would be a people who believe. You are God and there is no other. You are all powerful and no one compares. God, you do whatever you choose to do because you are almighty, all powerful God. And in you we put our trust. And in you we put our hope. And you are God, and in that we put all of our belief, no matter what the world says, no matter what at times family says, no matter what at times friends even may come against, God, we believe you are God. We put our trust in you. God, when doubt comes, when unbelief tries to stop anything going on in our lives, God, we're asking that we would just come back to know that belief takes courage. And we will charge ahead with everything we have because we walk without doubt. We walk without fear. Father, we ask that every eye in this place is open to see exactly what you would have us see this morning. God, we ask that every ear in this place would be ready to hear. The mind would be crystal clear to understand it. God, that we'd be hungry. Our hearts would long and yearn and be hungry for your word this morning. Father, feed us. Feed us today in your word. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, Father, I am hungry. Feed me this morning. God, would you just speak? You know what I need. You know exactly where I'm at, God. Speak to me. Speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, please do not miss tonight. If you are interested in the creation evolution deal, we as a church believe page one. That explains our position. And we have a man, Chris Miller, who's been a part of this church for a couple years now. And he goes around literally the country and speaks on evolution versus creation. Powerful night tonight, 6 o'clock. It's going to be great. Please turn to two places this morning. 1 Samuel 17, put a marker in 1 Samuel 17, and then turn over to Joshua 13, please. 1 Samuel 17 and Joshua 13.
I kind of polled our team this week and asked them, I said, what, and you get into scripture, what does your, what story or what amazing Bible truth comes to mind? Did I say Joshua? I meant Numbers. I'm sorry. Numbers 13. Just listen, follow me. Come on, here we go. Numbers 13, 1 Samuel 17. It's right on the board. That's why they make notes for me. Isn't that nice? That's great. But I pulled the team and said, hey, listen, what comes to heart in regards to men or women of faith who were facing doubt, facing those around them with doubt, but they persevered with great power and great authority with a great belief. And most of the team said David and Goliath, so I went in and I just kind of began to pray over that and ask God, is this something that can make some sense to us for those in the church this week? And we'll be preaching out of that in just a minute. So if this is a great message, thank them. And if it's not, you can throw apples at me or whatever. So, gang, we have an amazing team here. Overwhelmingly incredible team who just loves God and knows the sacrifice of what it is to lead and knows the sacrifice of what it is to get before God and fast and pray and beg God to do a work and beg God to come in and make a difference and beg God that you would leave this place week after week after week, starving to come back, ready to be fed, changed and different, because you were under the preaching of the good news. You're under the preaching of the absolute truth. The team in this place, amazing. And they love you and they cry out to God for you. And we're so thankful to what God is doing here. So please, please pray for this team. Ask God to bless this team, to give this team wisdom and anoint this team and bring such a power to the present area that we are in this region that we are, I'm telling you what, gang, we're blowing the doors off of this. It's just absolutely incredible. And to God be the glory. We're here for one reason, to glorify Him and to make His name great and watch souls come under that and watch souls be won. It is amazing. Huge. It's huge. Come on, Numbers 13. This is the deal right here. Number one verse. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourselves men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give the sons of Israel. Gang, this is the deal. For 2 months, we've been preaching on He is able and building our faith and building our faith. And in that, in our belief and our faith being increased, you know what else we've seen? Is people's worship have increased. When faith is on the rise, worship is on the rise. When we understand how great our God is and that He is faithful and that He is able to lead us and guide us in every circumstance, guess what happens? Worship begins to rise up. If you have noticed or been here any time, if you are new this morning, bless you. Thank you for being here at the service today. Praise God. We are so pumped that you are here. But we have seen a rise in our worship in this church in all three services. It's been amazing, amazing time of our release and our expressed love to God. Because our faith is beginning to rise up. Worship begins to rise up. For 2 months, we've been preaching on faith and that He is able. Last week, we started preaching on doubt. And this week, this is our last message in regards to the He is able series. Folks, we've got to recognize doubt has circumstances. I mean, doubt has consequences. When you understand this, when you understand as children of God that we trust in Him and believe in Him, doubt has consequences. Your unbelief, there are consequences to our unbelief. We're going to see this. Look at this. Numbers 13, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourselves men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan. Highlight this, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. This is the Lord speaking. This, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. Write that down. Highlight that. Go over that. This is the promise. God says the command. Go, and I'm going to give you the land. That which you see, that what you're spying out, that land belongs to you because that is the land that I am going to give you. Look at the promise of God here. This whole story, everything we're going to preach in the first part of this hinges on this first verse right here. Again, we got to recognize this. You know the story, you know, 40 years in the wilderness, right? They refused to go in the promised land. And then God's punishment or the consequence of their doubt was 40 years in the desert in the wilderness. Why? Because they didn't get this one single verse, the first verse of chapter 13, which I am going to give.
Is that a gray area, folks? Is it not quite understanding that maybe he didn't mean what he said? Maybe God mixed up somewhere. Did he really mean that he was going to give us? This is as absolute black and white and straightforward as anyone can get. God said, Moses, this is the deal. Send out the spies and they check out the land which I am going to give you. There's no question about this, folks. This whole deal hinges on this one verse. Look at this. Okay, so the spies go out. Chapter 23. They send 12 spies out. Verse 23 says this. This is a result of their checking out the land. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and from there they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two men with some of the pomegranates and the figs. Listen, I go to the grocery store. I don't need my family going to the grocery store to help me carry out the grapes, right? I mean, this is the deal. These are grapes. These are the fruit of this is incredible. It took two grown men, soldiers, to carry out the grapes, the fruit of this land. It was abundant. It was enormous. It was amazing, folks. This is the deal. Look at this. Verse 24, that place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of the sons of Israel cut down from there. When they returned from spying out the land, at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation. Everybody's gathered together. The whole nation of Israel, the congregation's gathered together of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And then they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Look at this is what they're saying. The promise is God is going to give us this land. So the spies come back. Could you imagine the congregation? Could you imagine the sons of Israel seeing the spies come back, carrying this abundant amount of fruit, carrying these huge grapes going, they're hungry. Their mouths begin to water. They're going, this land is amazing. If that's what's in the land, we're going. Look what God's given us. This is incredible. They got to see the picture here of them coming in, carrying it back, bringing them back word. And look what they said. Verse 27, thus they told them and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. You could imagine all the sons of Israel. God gave us a promise. God said, that's our land. We're going to go in and take it. Look at the fruit. It does certainly flow with milk and honey. It's got everything that we need. This is the promised land. We are so close. We're right there. Folks, some say they may be 11 miles away. Some say maybe a day's walk. A day's walk from the promised land. A day's journey to enter into a land that which God had promised them. And here is the evidence. Here is the fruit. This is how amazing. You would imagine at this point they are charged. They are ready. They are pumped. They are excited. You would imagine the 12 spies are coming back going, this is it. This is great. This is God's promise. Let's go. They bring back the evidence of how great this land is. And then verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Those are the giants. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country. The Canaanites are living by the sea and by the sea of the Jordan. Look at this, what they're saying. There's giants in the land and they are everywhere. They're on the mountains. They're by the sea. They're in the middle of the land. They are everywhere. They are huge. The cities are fortified and they are large. They come back showing evidence of how great the land is. And then they bring in this report. Crazy. And then you could imagine the people. They begin to talk. And they begin to grumble. And they begin to say, oh man, Amalek is there and the giants are there. And we're only so big. And you're telling us that their cities are fortified and they are large. And they are taken captive of every portion from the beginning of the sea to the mountains. They are everywhere. And you could imagine them begin to grumble. Caleb being one of the spies. Amazing. Look at this. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people. Shut up. Stop talking. Stop grumbling. Stop complaining. You see the fruit. Look what he says. Look at this. Caleb quieted the people. He was one of the spies who came back. He was one of the 12. Quieted the people before Moses said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overtake it. Everybody's grumbling and talking about the giants, and Caleb pipes up and says, shut up. It is urgent. The time is now. The land belongs to us. God has promised it to us. Look, he is saying it's urgent. It's urgent. We should by all means go up. Take possession of it.
for we will surely overcome it. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said this, we are not able. Doubt. We are not able. Folks, point number one of doubt having consequences is that doubt is contagious. Folks, doubt is contagious. You know what contagious means? It means to be infected. Like a disease. Spreads quick, hard to kill. Doubt is contagious, folks. It spreads quick, and it's hard to kill. And here these men bring a report, says, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. Right. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land that they spied out, saying, the land though which we have gone, in spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. Verse 14, then all the congregation, listen, doubt is contagious. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and all the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, listen to this, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. Look at what they say. Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword? So our wives and our little ones would become plunder? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? This is crazy. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And then they say, let us find a leader. Ditch Moses and Aaron and let us find a leader that will take us back. You know what was in Egypt? Slavery. You know what they did to slaves? Your wives belonged to some other man. Great. Your children were now under slavery, belonged to whoever they wanted to. You were enslaved and you were in bondage. And you know what? You know how doubt is just mind-blowing, folks? This is crazy. They said, listen, did God bring us to this point, right to the threshold? We're a day's walk away from paradise. Did he really bring us this far? We saw the fruit. What's he joking with us? He tells us to go bring the evidence of how great the land is, and he brings us this far to kill us? What? God brought you out of slavery. God, miracle after miracle, Moses standing before Pharaoh going, God said, let my people go, let my people go, let my people go. And then the miracle after miracle, the plagues came. And then the children of Israel were released and they're going. And then God leads them by fire by night and a cloud by day. And they get to the Red Sea. And then all of a sudden Moses looks behind, the people of Israel look behind. Again, they start to complain. They begin to doubt. Right at the Red Sea. God, the armies start coming. They're like, oh, great, now what? God bring us here to die. Moses steps out. Boom, Red Sea splits. Walks on dry ground. The enemy follows and pursues. Whew. And they actually can come and say, did God brought us to this point to kill us? Are you kidding me? Folks, doubt is contagious. And doubt makes you do the stupidest, craziest, dumbest things. When they actually thought it'd be better to go back to slavery after God freed them from their bondage. Look at this. Then Moses and Aaron, verse 5, fell on their face in the presence of all the assembly and the congregation of the sons of Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of whose the spied out the land. Listen, you've got four men. Moses, Aaron, Caleb, and Joshua. Four alone against the whole congregation of Israel. They are in desperate time. What are you talking about? Stop this. They begin to tear their clothes. They fall on their face before God. They begin to cry out. What are you talking about? Do you remember what slavery was? Do you remember all that God did for us? And you think it's better to go back to... We are right here. We're right at the threshold. We're so close. Number two of this message is doubt stops progress, folks. It is contagious and it stops progress. They were a day's walk away from the promised land, in which verse 1 says it is where God is ready to give it to them. It's huge. Look at this. These four men against the whole nation. Oh, this is huge. Look at this, verse 7. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. This is Joshua and Caleb, the two out of the 12. That are bringing the right report, that are standing right before God, that are believing God's word, saying he's going to give it to us. He said, the land which we spied out is an exceedingly good land.
If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Look what He says, do not rebel. Don't rebel against the Lord. And do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Look at what they're saying. The time is now. God's given us His promise. If we hesitate, if we wait, it's now. Now's the time that their protection is gone. Now's the time we're not to be afraid. Now's the time we're to charge forward. Now's the time we go possess the land. Don't rebel against God. Don't be afraid. The moment is now. We've got to move now. It is time pressing that we go, because their protection will be removed if we go now. Two out of the 12 come back with a stance for God, saying we can't. Yes, they're big. Yes, they're fortified. Yes, they're everywhere. The protection will be removed. And God is on our side. Why are we afraid? We must move now. Why have we stopped? Do you really think God has brought us this far to stop us here and to take us out? Dang, it is amazing when doubt takes hold and grips into our lives that we come to short-term memory. And it numbs our memory of all that God has done for us. They have this, what have you done for me lately, mentality. Because doubt has stopped the progress. And they come to this. And when you allow doubt and unbelief to take hold of you, you forget all that God has done. And look at this. They go through this passionate stance, saying, we got to go. We got to go now. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. They said that twice. To my best recollection, as I read and study the New Testament, Jesus gives 125 instructions, folks. The very most common instruction that Jesus gives 21 times is do not be afraid. The closest second to what I can find is 8. The closest second is 8. You know what that is? Love. Out of the 125 instructions that Jesus gives, 21 times being the very most, He tells, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And the closest second of 8 is to love. And here, look at this, gang, we got to understand, everything in our world as a Christian revolves around faith. The enemy is trying to do everything he can to bring in doubt and unbelief. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's the most common instruction that He gave. Don't be afraid. And look at this, twice it says, don't fear the people. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. In verse 10, this is crazy, but all the congregation, you would think after this passionate presentation, maybe they would remember what God has done. Maybe they would listen to the four. Gang, it took 4 men in the whole nation to stand up to truth. See, if you're going to be one who goes against doubt, if you're going to be one who say, I will take my stand, I will not fall, I will not fail, I will go forward, I will press, I will not stand with unbelief. You know what that takes? You know what? For those who believe, it takes courage, folks. It takes courage for those who will stand in their belief. Why is it so easy to follow doubt? Why is it so easy to follow the crowd? Why, when doubt becomes contagious, why is it so easy to run with everyone else? Because belief takes courage. Doubt doesn't take anything. Belief takes a stance. And belief takes courage. We are building warriors in this church, folks. We're not a bunch of thumb-sucking saints that we stub our toe and we bawl and we cry baloney. We are warriors for the King, and we are building warriors for His kingdom. We are kingdom warriors, man. We serve Him, and we will live for Him, and we will die for Him. And He is our King, and we got to be war-ready and warrior-ready. And in that belief, it takes courage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at the congregation. You would think that they'd be juiced about this, right? Verse 10, but all the congregation said this, stone them with stones. Oh, man, Caleb, that didn't go over so well. Nah. Good speech, but bro. Right? I mean, you could think, dude, that was great. We got him. That was passion. It was awesome. You did. Yes, Joshua, pipe him, man. That was great. And then all of a sudden, you see all these people, look at the congregation picking up all these stones.
thinking it's a good idea at this point to stone the only ones who are standing for God.
That's right.
Folks, please note. Please see this. Don't miss this. God is taking notes. God sees everything that is taking place. God hasn't missed a grumble. God hasn't missed a complaint. God hasn't missed anything that the 10 spies have said versus what the 2 spies have said. God hasn't missed the whole congregation coming out. God hasn't missed anything, and God shows up. They've got stones. They are ready. I could see the whole congregation picking up stones. They are so angry, and they're so filled with doubt, and they're so filled with fear that they think it's a good idea to take them out. And what was their plan after taking them out? To appoint another leader and go back into slavery. That was their plan. And God's taking note. Could you imagine with all the rocks in their hand? Look at verse 10. This is incredible. But all the congregation said, stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. God showed up in all his glory. When you understand the glory of God, that means it is brilliant and it is excellent and it is glorious. That's what that means. Everybody knew God just showed up. Could you imagine that? They're half stones and they're ready to go. All of a sudden, God shows up and it is brilliant and it is glorious. And all the sons of Israel, could you imagine what happened next? Right? Maybe God's been watching. Verse 11 says this. Folks, doubt has consequences. Look what Jesus, look what God's response to their doubt and unbelief. The Lord said to Moses, how long? That's what God says. Look at this. How long will this people spurn me? How long will they not believe in me? Look what he says. Despite. How long will they not believe in me? Despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst. Listen, despite all that I have done, despite all the plagues, despite releasing them from slavery, despite the whole Red Sea thing, despite being fed from heaven, despite all that I have done, what's it going to take for them to believe in me? This is what God is saying. Could you imagine that? The consequence of their doubt was that first, the 10 spies thought this bad report, they brought this. After knowing God said, I'll give you the land, God cast a disease on them and they all died. And then every adult in the congregation of Israel, God says, for every day that you were spied out the land is a year. For 40 years, I'm going to put you in the wilderness. They were, folks, they were a day's journey away. And for 40 years, they wandered. And every adult passed away in the wilderness, except for 2, Caleb and Joshua. And then all the children, the ones that they were so concerned about, our children will be plundered and our wives, those are the only ones who actually made it into the promised land. See, doubt, folks, is death. When we walk in unbelief, doubt is contagious. Doubt stops progress. And doubt is death. There are consequences to our unbelief. There's consequences to doubt. Now, if you want to see something, if you're of an older age in this place, and you are an old warrior saint, and you're a saint who says, I have battled, and I have battled, and I have battled, and I have fought hard, and I have stood my ground, and I have stood in great belief. Man, you are a Joshua 14 Caleb. If you got, we don't have time to go there. If you got time this week, Joshua 14, 6 through 12, you will see Caleb, who's one of the spy who had the belief and the courage to stand for truth. 45 years later, he says, I am now 85, and I am as strong as I was when we started in the wilderness 40 plus years ago. And he said, this is great. You want to talk about a saint of old who has a warrior mindset, who will not quit? 85 years old, he's talking to Joshua saying, let me at him. Let me go. God has given me the land. I can take the land. I know I can. I mean, this is an 85-year-old dude saying, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. Let me at him. Joshua 14, gang, it's huge. Talk about a warrior of old age saying, the enemy's got nothing on me. That's powerful. Come on, for Samuel 17, please. Huge. Oh, man. Golly goodness. Come on, let's get through this thing. Give me a couple minutes, folks. Please, please, please. Come on. Okay, you know the story of David and Goliath. This is huge. All right, Goliath, the big bad giant, right? Fighting on the Philistine side. And then you've got the armies of Israel. These are God's chosen people, God's army. You've got King Saul, you've got the armies of Israel. And Goliath, who's about almost 10 feet tall, Goliath shows up and he is looking. He comes over the hill. He says, listen, why are we lined up to fight? Let's just make it simple. I'm here. You send one man out to fight me. Whoever wins, the whole nation wins. If we win, you serve us as our slaves. As if you win, we'll serve you as your slaves. That's simple. Let's just simplify. Listen, Goliath was a warrior man. He was a beast. He was about 10 feet tall, warrior from his youth. He's looking over at Israel saying, I got this. Guys, sit back. There's no one on that side of the road who can take me. So he presents this challenge for 40 days, folks. Night and morning. Morning and night for 40 days. That is 80 times. He's presented this challenge. And it is a challenge. He says, I defy the armies of Israel. Listen, he says, I insult, I ridicule, I taunt. Yeah, you say that that's your God. In essence of insulting and ridiculing and taunting and defying the armies of Israel, he's defying, insulting, and taunting God. This is the reality of this. These are God's chosen people. And the Bible says every time that he came up, every time that he presented, every time that he insulted them, you would think that there would be a warrior. You would think that King Saul would be ready to battle for his people, be ready to battle for the name of God, be ready to go to war. But instead, the Bible says they ran. The Bible says that they were dismayed and they were in fear. I could imagine Goliath showing up and all the armies of Israel. Boom, this one hits a rock and this one goes behind a tree and this one goes behind a bush. This is what they were doing. David shows up as a messenger. It's the one who's bringing food to his brothers. Sent by his dad. Listen, let him know I love him. Bring him some food. David hears this challenge. He's out. He hears this challenge. And I'm sure he's looking around going, why, where are you going? Why are you people running? How long has this been going on? Oh, David, this is about the 79th time. This is like the 80th time. It's been unbelievable. Look how big he is. Look at his sword and look at his shield. Nobody can defeat. Could you imagine David going, why are you hiding? And then Eliab, his oldest brother, begins to hear David begin to make conversation. Listen, he knows his brother. He knows the mentality of his youngest brother, David, saying the only reason you came here is because you wanted to be in the battle. I could see David going, yeah, yeah. Dad sent me with some food, but I dropped the food with somebody way back there, and I ran up here. Read it. That's what took place. He didn't bring the food to his brothers. He dropped it with somebody else and came to the battle line. And his oldest brother says he burned with anger within him. And his older brother says, you have wickedness in your heart. His oldest brother said, hey, shepherd boy, you're so mature. Who'd you leave the sheep with? Everything to get to cast doubt amongst his brother. And then David stands before the king, King Saul, the king, all authority. And says, listen, I can take this guy. I can take this. Listen, when I was in the field, there was a lion that came that took a lamb. And there was a bear that came and took a lamb. And I chased down the lion. And I chased down the bear. And I got the lamb out of the bears. Not a great idea to chase down a lion. I mean, it's obviously hungry, man. It's got food in its mouth. And David the shepherd boy, that is my lamb. That is my sheep. And he gives God all the credit. Saying, as God delivered, as I went after the lion and I went after the bear, I took them both down by the beard. That's wow. And I'm reading this going, okay, would I rather chase a lion? if I had a choice, man, would I chase a bear? Both of them will just chew you up and spit you out. But David, with the warrior mindset, he says, listen, folks, just maybe God, who knows all things, understood that I got to build some confidence in this young shepherd boy. I got to build something up in this. Listen, I've got a task for him down the road. I've got something amazing where he is going to have courage. He's going to have to go against the grain. He's going to have to go against the whole army of Israel. Maybe if he sees I am with him in capturing the bear, I'm with him in capturing the lion, maybe he'll use that then. Maybe God, who knows all things, figured this thing out way, way, way before the beginning of time. Saying, listen, I'm going to need David for the Goliath fight. And this is what David brings up. King, I've got this. God will see us through. You know the very first thing out of the king's mouth? Oh, you're not able.
hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered over and over and over. Everywhere he turned, you're not able. Brother gets angry with him. Brother begins to insult him. David says, listen, I've got this thing. Hey, king. Hey, could you come out from around that rock so I could talk to you for a minute? Because I don't know why you're so afraid, king. Yeah, I'm your only option. 80 times he's come forward and everybody's run. Nobody is standing here saying, please let me go. I'm begging you, please let me go. He says, fine, put on this armor. It doesn't fit. I don't like it. He goes, he grabs a stick, grabs a sling, grabs five stones. And you could imagine, folks, you could imagine Goliath comes up. Maybe it was the 80th time. Goliath comes up and he begins to insult God and insult the armor. And then he sees this boy charging, ready to go with a stick. What, are we going to play fetch? He says, I am not a dog that you come at me with a stick. I'm not going, what are you come to play fetch? He says, I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds, boy. And then David, this is awesome. This is so amazing, folks. You see, belief takes courage. See, doubt spread amongst the whole camp of Israel. And there wasn't one soldier, warrior, or a king who stepped forward because they were all in doubt and unbelief and afraid. And the delivery boy shows up. Well, this brother's against him. The king is against him. Out of options, so he sends him. Could you imagine all the armies of Israel? Could you imagine his three brothers standing on the edge of this field? Could you imagine the king going, he's really our best son. Listen, everything was at stake with this. If David would have lost, all of Israel would have belonged to this group of slaves. Could you imagine everyone on the edge of their seat going, this is it? This is all we got? He's the only one that stepped forward, the shepherd boy, with a stick and a sling and a stone. Who is this kid? Look at this. Look what David says. And then David said to the Philistine, verse 45, he says this, you come at me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down, and I will take your head, and I'll feed you to the birds. Ha! And you can imagine, the Bible says, just right below that in verse 48, that David ran quickly towards it. Could you imagine this little boy? And all the whole army is on the edge of their seat. They are watching us going, okay, our fate's in this kid's. And he's got this slingshot, man. And David says, you're mine. And he begins to, belief takes courage. And he begins to take off towards Goliath. The Bible says he ran quickly. Could you imagine trying to run at a sprint towards this giant? And then flinging this thing and then throwing this in a dead sprint. Boom. Slice. Game. Because belief takes courage, folks. And doubt will paralyze you and cripple you. You can't go forward. Come on, let's pray. Oh, God, thank you. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, we pray that we would be soldiers and warriors that would take up our cross and follow you. There would be no doubt amongst this crew. And Jesus, you've said it very clearly. If we have unbelief and doubt in you as Savior and Lord, you've said it yourself, there is no life within us. Doubt brings death. And on an eternal state, and if we've come to a point to believe everything else except Christ being the only Savior of the world, and we put our hope in a system, we put our hope into a church, we put our hope into Unitarianism, we put our hope in something else, and it's not Christ alone. Folks, Jesus said you have no life. Your doubt and unbelief is eternal. And if you're in this place this morning and you know that there is some doubt that has crippled you, as a Christian, as a believer, and there's unbelief that has crept in, whether it be a neighbor, whether it be a friend, whether it be a brother, whether it be a sister, whether it be even, unfortunately, a believer, that has whispered and brought doubt and unbelief, when you know God has directly spoke to you and God has put you on a path and you know what God has spoke to you, whether it be for a loved one, whether it be for the salvation of one, whether it be the salvation of a husband or a wife, whether it be for a teenager to be straightened out and walk right with God, whatever God has put on your heart, Doubt has come and unbelief has come because it's not in our timing. And then we forget the goodness of God. And our mind goes numb on all that God has done. Our doubt or unbelief has crept in because of our past or because of sin. The enemy just whispers, "I can't love you. You remember when?" This is even worse when he whispers, "No one can love you. You're never going to find a husband. You're never going to find a wife. You're all washed up. You have no value." Folks, we buy into that. Doubt comes and it paralyzes us. Once on fire for God, once in complete progress, in complete charge. Charge, charge, charge. And all of a sudden doubt comes and we just stop. We get paralyzed. Folks, this morning I'm asking that you please, please cast off that doubt. And know how great our God is and know His love for you. And know for absolute certain that I believe He's got a plan for me. I believe that He's got purpose for me. I believe that I have been set free. I believe that my past is forgiven. I believe, I believe, I believe. And you cast that aside. Doubts in your marriage, cast it aside. Cast it aside. Folks, please, please, let us minister to you this morning. Let me pray for you. I don't want you to come forward just right now. If there is something in your heart, you know, I want to cast this thing aside. So many this weekend. Put your hand in the air. We're going to pray for you. Belief takes courage, folks. Belief takes courage. Put it up. Hold it up. If you are married, put your hand on your spouse, please. Please. And if your spouse's hand is up, come on, you're going to be praying for your spouse. Leaders, if you see somebody who's by themselves, I want you to just go put your hand on them. We're just going to pray for them. Folks, this is where we cast it aside. Give us a couple minutes. Come on. This is where we cast it aside. And get God, please. I believe, God. God, I trust you. God, you are able. I cast this doubt aside. God, I don't want it to be contagious. God, I don't want it to stop my progress. God, I cast it aside. And I believe. And you put that circumstance before God. You put whatever situation that is, whatever that doubt has showed up. And you say, God, I believe. God, let my faith increase. Let my faith arise. God, there will not be a consequence to this. God, I give it to you right now. Right now, I give it to you. God, I cast all my fear away. And I will walk with no fear. I will be quick to obey. God, I'll walk in great obedience of you, and I will not be afraid. God, in my belief, bring courage. God, you told Joshua, be strong and be of great courage. Be not afraid. Folks, I believe that God is saying the same thing to His church today. Be strong. Take up great courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you bless this church. Bless these individuals who are crying out to you this morning. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, folks. Let's stand. Come on. Jesus. Hallelujah.